Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Lord of the Rings Lorecast, the show that explores the background of Tolkien's amazing world from the very beginning. As we get closer to the wedding, the actual marriage between Eldarion and Arrendis, one thing that stands out to me is Tolkien's understanding of human beings, of personalities, and the kinds of things that we do and we say, the kinds of people we are, our boundaries and limitations, the nature of an individual, and the fact that 99% of the time, that person is still that person, unless something extremely out of the ordinary changes them or puts them in a situation that eventually bends them, but they're still themselves. He also has a great sense for politics, the complexities between multiple individuals, especially people of high status, and the expectations on those individuals, both by society and by themselves. As we continue with the story, we are told about Meneldur's gift to Arrendis. Now, this was a betrothal gift from the house of the husband in this situation. And because the house of the husband in the situation happens to be the kings of Numenor, the gift was land and a house, a white house in the land of Emyrie. And just a reminder, we talked about this previously, but Emyrie is a land with rolling green hills and grasslands and sheep and things like that. It is not a region near the sea because that is not what she loves. And the gift was appropriate. And it was also common for the soon-to-be husband to give gifts as well. You know, like you would imagine, a diamond ring or some other something. And Eldarion responds to this and tells Arrendis, "Other jewels I have in hoard, gifts of kings in far lands to whom the ships of Numenor have brought aid. I have gems as green as the light of the sun in the leaves of trees which you love," which is a really cool image. The idea that when you're under a canopy of trees, you can look up and see the glowing green of the leaves, the light from the sun shining through the leaves of the trees. But that's not what Arrendis wants. She responds, "No, I have had my betrothal gift, though it came beforehand. It is the only jewel that I have or would have, and I will set it yet higher. Basically, don't worry about all that stuff. You already gave me a gift worthy of a betrothal, this diamond." And she decides that she's going to set it high. She had the gem set as a star, and it's described here in a silver fillet, which I would imagine is a way of displaying it. If you know more about that than I do, please comment and let me know. But I don't want to go too much into detail there. But she decides to then put it on her forehead. She wears it as like this really delicate crown around her head, with the gem sitting on her brow. She was known from that point on by so many people. And of course, this is a Tolkien thing. You do something important or interesting, and all of a sudden, people call you a new name. Well, people started calling her Tar Elistirne, the Lady of the Starbrow, which is kind of cool. It's kind of neat to think, this is just another aside, it's kind of neat to think that in this world, or in maybe even past worlds, you could do things like this. And it was just kind of like, oh, well, that's really cool. That's a neat way to display that diamond. If you walked around today with a diamond on your brow, in our society, people would look at you a little bit strangely. Maybe you can get away with, you know, some costume jewelry like that as a teenager because, well, teenagers will do weird stuff. But as an adult, people would be like, well, why isn't that just a necklace or earrings? What's going on? So she wears it on her brow and she gets this new name. And then we're told that for some time, there was peace on the Isle. Everything was going well. It was the 858th year of the Second Age. And supposedly they had a golden summer. At least that's what Tolkien tells us here about how the ancient history books recorded that year. But then we're told that everybody had a good year, except for the venturers, that they were not well content because it had been 15 years that Eldarion had remained in Numenor. He wasn't taking the venturers out on expeditions. He wasn't sailing around exploring new lands. He was focusing on his home, on the role that he was supposed to play, on betrothing his new wife and setting up plans for their future. And the rest of the venturers didn't just sit idly on the shore. They would go out on their own journeys, but they didn't feel as brave or as capable without Eldarion at the lead, at the helm. So they would go visit the lands of, say, Gil-galad and the elves, but they didn't go too much further than that. Now, during this time, one of their other complaints was a lack of timber for their ships, for the shipbuilding, for anything that they wanted to go do. And this was because Eldarion had been distracted for the last 3 years or so with all the goings abouts of the politics and the potential marriage and all of that. And so he got the message and decided, okay, he'll get back to it. He will return to working the forests, to felling some of the trees in order to provide timber. And remember, they're on an island. There's only so many. So this has to be done very carefully. The trees have to be replanted. And so he goes specifically to the forests himself and brings Arrendis with him because they've been spending all this time together. And so they go to the woods. And she sees trees in their prime being cut down and then further hewn into planks of wood, these living things being harvested. And it saddened her. And from that moment on, when Eldarion needed to go visit the forests, she did not come. This gives us more insight into her character and how much she loved the growing things of the land in the same way that Eldarion loved the sea. So during this betrothal period, 3 years pass, which was the custom at the time. A betrothal shouldn't last more than 3 years. And yet, that time had passed, and Eldarion and Arrendis were still not at a wedding day. In fact, that was something that hadn't firmly been planned yet. And then we're told about one day in the spring, Eldarion has been invited as a guest to the house of Beregar. Arrendis is already there. She's preceded in traveling, and he's now arriving a little bit later than her. And during his journey, he's traveling through the roads, the pathways to that part of the island. And we're told this, as he came to the top of the great bluff that stood out from the land and sheltered the haven from the north, he turned and looked back over the sea. A west wind was blowing. Remember, west wind is an important thing. Every time that comes up, it has to do with the Valar. As often at that season, beloved by those who had to sail to Middle-earth, and white-crested waves marched toward the shore. And then suddenly the sea longing took him, as though a great hand had been laid on his throat, and his heart hammered, and his breath was stopped. Have you ever had a moment like that, where all of a sudden a realization or a longing just grabs you? He strove for the mastery and at length turned his back and continued on his journey. And by design, he took his way through the wood where he had seen Arrendis riding as one of the Eldar. That moment when he thought she might be an elf. Remember that? now 15 years gone. Almost he looked to see her once more, but she was not there. And desire to see her face again hastened him so that he came to Berengar's house before evening. This is a very interesting passage to me because it seems to set something up. He remembers the sea because he sees it at a distance. He's up high and he can see far across the island and he can see it out at the horizon. And then this wind blows by, this western wind, and all of a sudden, as if a hand around his throat, he had a longing to return to the sea like he hadn't felt in years. And then he forces himself to forget it, and then remembers the moment that he realized just how beautiful Arrendis is. And he longed for that moment again. And so he continued along in order to go see his fiancée. We know already that Eldarion is torn between a love of the sea and a love of Arrendis. But this might be the first time that there's a hint that that longing for the sea might come from somewhere other than just himself. This west wind. Now hold on to that, because maybe that's a thing, or maybe it's just the way the winds blow at that time of year. So he finally arrives at the house, and she welcomes him gladly, we're told. And he was merry. But, it says here, he said nothing touching their wedding. He didn't bring it up at all. He still hasn't set a date. Though all had thought that this was a part of his errand to the Westlands. They thought he was going there to finalize plans for the wedding. But he didn't. As the days passed, Arrendis marked that he now often fell silent in company when others were gay. Gay, of course, meaning happy. And if she looked toward him, suddenly she saw his eyes upon her. Then her heart was shaken, for the blue eyes of Eldarion seemed to grow now gray and cold. Yet she perceived, as it were, a hunger in his gaze. That look she had seen too often before, and feared what it boded. But she said nothing. She sees the longing in his heart. She sees that this extended time period on the land has actually reduced him in some way. The light of his eyes does not shine as bright as it once did. After the celebrations and the time spent together with these families, Eldarion and Arrendis rode away, returning to Armenelos, we're told. And we're also told that as they drew further from the sea, he grew merrier again. The sea was no longer a constant reminder on the horizon. Still, he said nothing to her of his trouble, for indeed he was at war within himself and irresolute. We're told one other thing before this actual sentence here, that during the time together with the families, Nuneth marked all that passed. Basically, she had been watching and aware of what had gone on, mostly being the conversations that were had or not had between Eldarion and Arrendis. Just like any other potential stepmother, she was very aware of their situation. And she was glad that arguments didn't happen, that conversations about the sea didn't happen. And she's quoted as saying, "For words may open wounds." So in her eyes, it was better that they don't talk about these things at all, so that they could continue on and get married like they're supposed to. So they return to Armenelos, and they go back, you know, to the regular duties and things. And time continues on. The year draws on. Eldarion, during all of this time, doesn't bring up the wedding or the sea. Neither thing. It's as if the conflict inside of him is keeping him from talking about either thing because he's stuck in the middle and he's not able to fully commit in one direction or the other. But during this time, he did spend some time in Romena in the company of the venturers, who, of course, I'm sure were trying to convince him to go back out to sea. But he doesn't, at least not during this time. And then eventually, when the next year came, He was summoned by his father. The king called him to his chamber, and they were at ease together. And the love they bore one another was no longer clouded, it says here. Another sign that they'd been getting along for years now, that his father was happy with him, except for one thing. "My son," said Tar Meneldir, "when will you give me the daughter that I have so long desired? More than 3 years have now passed, and that is long enough. I marvel that you could endure so long a delay." Basically, hey, dude, what are you doing? You've got this wonderful woman. She's ready to marry you. You're unmarried. How can you wait this long? What is going on? And we'll continue that conversation after the mid-break, so don't go anywhere. So let me tell you a little story. You know that we get sponsors on these podcasts, and Yuffie, who does these smart locks with video cameras in them, reached out and they sent me a smart door lock with a 2K camera, a doorbell, and a finger reader, all the bells and whistles. And I was like, okay, cool. They sent it to me. I already have one on my back door. When I opened this up and installed it, I was like, why didn't I go with Yuffie to begin with? Because this is a step above the one that I've been using. The finger reader just works. The 2K camera is so clear. I can see when somebody's at the front door, if it's Amazon or if it's somebody trying to sell me something. It even has night vision and works in the dark. It makes me feel so much safer. Plus, my son can just put his finger on the door and just come right in when he gets home from school. He doesn't have to worry about losing keys, and you don't even have to change the batteries in these because it's got like 10,000 milliwatt hour battery that lasts for like 4 months. Go check these out today. Search for Yuffie Video Lock, that's EUFY Video Lock, or visit yuffieofficial.com/videolock to see how you can gain complete control of your door. Again, search Yuffie Video Lock. I think you'll love it.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, here we are in the middle of the show, and before we get to the patron stuff, real quick, I just want to say, if you haven't checked out the Fallout TV show yet, it is freaking amazing. It is so good. I'm going to be covering all the details, all the hidden details and things on the Fallout Lorecast, which is one of my other shows. If you're not aware of that I do the Fallout Lorecast, I do the Fallout Lorecast. I've been doing this show for over 5 years now. It is the cornerstone of my podcast career. It's the first one that I did that really took off and is still continues to actually be my biggest show. This show rivals it at times, but it actually gets more downloads still every month. So if you're into the Fallout TV show, you want to know more about that world and that universe, I've got almost 300 episodes over there. Go check it out. I cover all sorts of things, so I won't belabor that. But here, let's thank our patrons. Thank you so much for being a part of this and for supporting the show. And big shout out to our newest patron, Justin C. Welcome to the Patreon. Thank you to all 170 of our active patrons. And then we also have a number of free patrons. That is a thing they added, I guess, about a year ago. And so if you just want to sign in and be able to be part of the community over there, you're welcome to do that. I might use that more often and send notes to everybody, but You can do that. You can sign up at the different tiers. You can join and get ad-free episodes and t-shirts and all sorts of things. So patreon.com/LOTRLorecast. Also, I have to shout out all of our VIP patrons. So here we go. AK Music Lover, Anakin Skywalker, Apollo, Aragorn III, Austin C, Azzle Razzle, Barney D, Bo, Black Squirrel, Brandy D, Cutter Metalworks, David S, David M, Divine Madman, Drupal, Fulcrum, Gimli A Break, Gemma D, Jesse P, J Eggs, Jezzer, Kate L, Katie S, Capenna, 009, Lore FC, Lori B, Mason Weathertop, Michael M, Nick K, Nostrils of Sauron, Obi-Wan Kenobi, Peace Lutheran Church, Richard J. Oh, I messed that up. Rosie Rose, Sam B, Seju, TJT, and Tour Son of Four. Thank you so much to all of you. You are amazing. Also, if you'd like to leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, I will read out your message on there on a future episode, or you can rate the show 5 stars on Spotify or whatever platform you listen to this on. Just thanks for being here. Thanks for sharing it with your friends. All of that. You guys know how this works. I couldn't do it without all of you. So thank you so much. All right, let's move on with the rest of the story. So Aldarion's father sits him down and basically gives them the whole, hey, buddy, what are you doing? Why is it taking so long? And we get this conversation, which I'll read most of this out to you. Then Aldarion was silent, but at length he said, it has come upon me again, a Tirinya. 18 years is a long fast. I can scarce lie still in a bed or hold myself upon a horse, and the hard ground of stone wounds my feet. Then Menelder was grieved and pitied his son, but he did not understand his trouble, for he himself had never loved ships. And he said, alas, but you are betrothed, and by the laws of Numenor and the right ways of the Elder and Edain, a man shall not have 2 wives. You cannot wed the sea, for you are affianced to Arrendis. Then Eldarion's heart was hardened, for these words recalled his speech with Arrendis as they passed through Emyrie. And he thought, but untruly, that she had consulted with his father. He was starting to suspect that she and his father were working together to try to forward this thing, to get this marriage happening sooner, but she hadn't been. It was ever his mood, if he thought that others combined to urge him on some path of their choosing, to turn away from it. Smiths may smithy, and horsemen ride, and miners delve when they are betrothed, he said. Therefore, why may not mariners sail? If smiths remained 5 years at the anvil, few would be smiths' wives, said the king. And mariners' wives are few, and they endure what they must, for such is their livelihood and their necessity. The king's heir is not a mariner by trade, nor is he under necessity. There are other needs than livelihood that drive a man, said Aldarion, and there are yet many years to spare. Nay, nay, said Menelder, you take your grace for granted. Arrendis has shorter hope than you, and her years wane swifter. She is not of the line of Elros, and she has loved you now many years. She held back well nigh 12 years when I was eager, said Aldarion. I do not ask for a third of such a time. She was not then betrothed, said Menelder. But neither of you are now free, and if she held back, doubt not that it was in fear of what now seems likely to befall. If you cannot master yourself, in some way you may have stilled that fear, and though you may have spoken no plain word, yet you are beholden, as I judge. Then Aldarion said in anger, it were better to speak with my betrothed myself and not hold parley by proxy. And then he left his father. He thought he was arguing with Arrendis through his father. But that was not the case. This was simply his father's concern for him, again, trying to get him on the path that was expected. So Aldarion heads back to Arrendis not too long after this, and he talks to her. He opens up about his want, his need to go voyage again upon the great waters, and that this has been robbing him of sleep and rest. This has been a huge problem for him. And she sits pale and silent, and at length she says, "I thought you were come to speak of our wedding." "I will," said Aldarion. "It shall be as soon as I return, if you will wait." But seeing the grief in her face, he was moved, and a thought came to him. "It shall be now," he said. "It shall be before this year is done, and then I will fit out such a ship as the venturers made never yet. A queen's house on the water, and you shall sail with me, Arrendis, under the grace of the Valar, of Yavanna, and of Orome, whom you love. You shall sail to lands where I shall show you such woods as you have never seen, where even now the Eldar sing, or forests wider than Numenor, free and wild since the beginning of days, where still you may hear the great horn of Orome, the Lord." You can see the reasoning here. He understands that she is heartbroken, that he has now come to her to talk about the things that are weighing down his heart, and yet he doesn't bring up the wedding. And so he starts to backpedal. He's like, "Okay, we'll do it sooner, and then you can come with me. We can go see all these wonderful places full of things that you'll love." You can see that he's finally trying to come with some sort of compromise that may allow him to have both of the things that he loves the most. But in response, Arrendis weeps. "Nay, Aldarion," she said, "I rejoice that the world yet holds such things as you tell of, but I shall never see them, for I do not desire it. To the woods of Numenor my heart is given, and alas, if for love of you I took ship, I should not return. It is beyond my strength to endure, and out of sight of land I should die. The sea hates me, and now it is revenged that I kept you from it, and yet fled from you. Go, my lord, but have pity and take not so many years as I lost before." You can hear the heartbrokenness in the way she states this. She knows that her place is in Numenor. She knows that she cannot return to the sea. She fears it. But she won't hold him back. Then we're told that Aldarion was abashed, for as he had spoken in heedless anger to his father, so now she spoke with love. And there's some depth here. This turnabout, where the entire time in this episode so far, Aldarion has been speaking about the things that he wants, the way that his wants are weighing upon him. His decision is causing him sleepless nights and sorrow. He's been thinking about himself this whole time. And in this moment, where she could be angry with him, instead she says, "Go. If that's what you love, go." This is a moment of love. She's not speaking with anger. She's simply sad that she can't be enough. He did not sail that year, but he had little peace or joy. "Out of sight of land, she will die," he said. "Soon I shall die if I see it longer. Then if we are to spend any years together, I must go alone and go soon." He made ready, therefore, at last, for sailing in the spring. And the venturers were glad, if none else in the isle who knew of what was done. 3 ships were manned, and in the month of Virase, which is roughly the end of March through the end of April, they departed. Arrendis herself set the green bow of Oyolire, which means Eversummer, by the way, on the prow of the Polaren, and hid her tears until it passed out beyond the great new harbor walls. 6 years pass before Eldarion returns to Numenor. And what happens next is something we'll talk about next time. Thanks for tuning in. Have a wonderful week, and I'll see you next time. Thanks for listening to the Lord of the Rings Lorecast. If you'd like to learn more about other fantasy worlds, check out my other podcasts, The Elder Scrolls Lorecast, The Witcher Lorecast, and more at robotsradio.net. If you'd like to reach out, I'd love to hear from you. Send me a note on Twitter at robots_radio, or join our amazing community on the Robots Radio Discord. There are links in the show notes, or just search Robots Radio Discord, or find the link on robotsradio.net. I'll see you next time.